Well, what about this voice from April 50 years ago? That was Yuri Gagarin, the first man to orbit the Earth. The anniversary is on Tuesday, the event that changed the world. Jonathan Nally describes how.
When 27-year-old Soviet Air Force pilot Yuri Gagarin roared into space on April 12, 1961, he knew he was making history. But he couldn't have imagined that he would set off a race between the superpowers, the likes of which the world had never seen before. His flight, followed by the Bay of Pigs fiasco only days later, sent shivers through the American government. The Soviets were winning the propaganda battle. The US was being crucified. They had to come up with something big, and quickly. So just weeks later, President Kennedy got the race started, announcing to Congress that the US was shooting for the moon. The challenge galvanized the nation, and the American moon program quickly overtook that of the Soviets, leading, of course, to one of the most amazing moments in human history.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
So having failed to win the moon race, the Soviets chose a different race. Concentrating on manned spaceflight in Earth orbit, in 1971 they launched Salyut 1, the first of several space stations. And they've maintained a continuous human presence in space ever since. Unlike the US, which, facing budgetary problems, canned the Apollo project and only reluctantly approved the space shuttle. The reusable spacecraft, first launched on the 20th anniversary of Gagarin's flight, has had its ups and downs, of course. And in many ways it hasn't lived up to its promise of cheap, regular travel into space. But it has made 131 successful flights out of 133 attempts, which is quite an achievement for such a risky endeavour. In all, over the last 50 years, 522 people from 38 nations have flown in space, 335 from the US, 111 from the Soviet Union and Russia, and 76 from other countries. And in this 50th anniversary year, we find ourselves with a deliciously ironic situation. Think about it. The Soviets beat the Americans into space. The Americans beat the Soviets to the moon. The Soviets put up the first space station. The Americans countered with the first reusable spacecraft. And finally, after decades, they got together and built the International Space Station. So you could say they were even. But are they? For the next 5 years or so, until a replacement is built for the retiring space shuttle fleet, the US is going to be totally reliant on the Russians to get their astronauts into space, using the Soyuz capsule, at $50 to $60 million per seat. Makes you wonder who won the race in the end. But sadly, the man who was there at the beginning of that race didn't live to witness footsteps on the moon, or the end of the Cold War, or the superpower cooperation embodied in the International Space Station. Grounded from flying by a nervous government that didn't want to risk losing its new hero, Gagarin didn't take to the air again until 1968. In March of that year, during a training flight in poor weather, his aircraft crashed, killing him and a colleague. But he is far from forgotten. Each year on April 12, space enthusiasts around the world stage Yuri's Night, a celebration of his mission, his legacy, and the promise of spaceflight. So on Tuesday, let's remember Yuri and the 521 other men and women who have followed in his footsteps. Astronauts and cosmonauts, star sailors indeed, carrying our dreams of exploration from Earth's shoreline and into the darkness of the great beyond.